Well, Jerry and I talk about Malcolm Beck all the time.
I know. And yet he still talks to y'all.
Yeah, I know.
I don't understand that.
That's obvious. He doesn't listen to the show. So.
No, apparently not.
But Malcolm and his wife Delphine are here shopping at Newburgers today, looking for some spinach seed. And so we thought we'd stop by. And I didn't know, Milton, if you'd ever met Malcolm.
I have met Malcolm, sure. Mm-hmm. I met Malcolm when we went and saw the bats.
Right.
That was fun. That was a terrific trip. And there's rumor out there, Malcolm, that you have a new book?
Well, I got four of them. My latest one, Lessons in Nature.
Uh-huh.
It's a compiling of other three.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, no colored pictures. A lot of pictures, but no color.
Okay.
I got all my good stories in it.
Good.
Stories.
Yeah, and the stories get better as the years have progressed, too. I mean,
After associating with Jerry and Calvin, they happen.
So Jerry, perhaps, as Calvin have taught you how to tell a tall tale, if you will.
Well, he knew that long before we started. He's been our teacher.
No, I learned a few lessons from y'all.
And your vegetable garden, you were talking about spinach, and Malcolm's always in his besides producing a lot, he's always experimenting with things, trying to find seed sources that are better or cultural practices that are better. And what were you're talking about? What were you playing with right now, Malcolm?
Well, right now I'm doing some research on paramagnetism. And I've found out you can kill plants if you don't know what you're doing, but if you do know what you're doing, you can really make them grow, even give them frost protection and give them a certain immunity to diseases and insects.
So what is?
And they also play the fiddle very well too after they've been paramagnetized.
Wait. What is paramagnetism?
Well, that's a real low level energy.
Okay.
And things become solid things like rock or sand can become paramagnetic with high heat, or either with high centrifugal force.
Okay.
And the outer edge of a volcano will be neutral because if something is paramagnetic and it's exposed to probably oxygen, it loses that paramagnetism. But in the center of the volcano, it'll be highly paramagnetic. I have a machine to measure that. And the basalt is a real hard volcanic-type rock, and it holds the paramagnetism better than anything.
Huh.
And on this meter, it can register as high as 4,000 to 5,000.
So when you're using, small amounts to see what effect it has?
Well,
or?
In this part of the country, if we use this paramagnetic material as a mulch in the top 3-4 inches of the soil with compost, I've had tomato plants to withstand 28 degrees completely untouched with a breeze blowing, 28 degrees in all tomato plants' neighborhood, even though the people that covered theirs, they were black to the ground. Mine were completely untouched. I was so dumbfounded I forgot to take a picture. But I've done a lot of research since. I've kept small citrus trees from freezing. I've kept the olive trees from freezing.
So
and this energy, when you use it with compost, if you know how to use it, it stimulates microbial activity in the soil. Stimulates extra root growth. And you load the sap up in a tree with extra carbohydrates and minerals. And that seems what gives it the protection. See, it's like salt water freezes at 26 degrees, but fresh water freezes at
30. Oh, that's interesting. So they just don't freeze at, it, like you were saying, they freeze at a lower temperature.
Right. Huh. And in our soil here, since our soil is alkaline, and we have limestone on the ground, which is diamagnetic or neutral.
Okay.
And when we put this paramagnetic on top of the ground, and you have diamagnetic below the ground, you're growing plants, say, between the positive and the negative ends of magnets.
Now, Malcolm.
My head hurts.
Yeah, well.
Is it supposed to hurt?
Yeah.
It shouldn't hurt to do this show.
But Malcolm's always delving into new stuff, but one of the things that he's worked on for years is organic material in the lawn and top dressing. And I understand Karen, the new conservation director, they're going to be giving out a rebate for folks that are. Top dress and aerate their lawns this year because of the drought situation. It's going to be an experiment to see how much less water people can get by with, and plus just an effort to make sure our lawns, if we have another year drought, are in better shape to deal with it than they were this year. So they're and Malcolm's name is mentioned as the motivation for so, and I think that's so that that we can blame him if it doesn't work exactly
oh,
the way
I
we
see
want.
How it works now.
Well,
will you give him credit when it's a big success?
Well, no, you have to share credit.
Oh, you place blame but share credit. I see how it works.
I've had a lot of experience with that. First, I got to say one more thing about paramagnetism.
Sure, sure.
I killed some apple trees with it.
All right.
Because I used it in a place where there was paramagnetic rock about 18 or 20 inches underground. And when you try to grow a plant between the two positive ends of a magnet, you can kill them.
What got you interested in pursuing this?
Oh, there's a renegade scientist that wrote an article on it.
You always latch onto those renegade scientists.
Well, I know a few of them. Anyway,
so he wrote.
I'm doing a book on it, and I got a lot of research going.
Okay.
On. But getting back to compost, we accidentally found out at Jerry's lawn, believe it or not, because Jerry didn't believe in compost till I sent a competitor over to dump a bunch of it on his lawn. Jerry picked it up and put it in his garden, but it left a dirty spot about 6 foot in diameter.
Uh-huh.
Jerry washed it in. Well, boy, that spot came out pretty and green. So Jerry spread fertilizer his whole lawn, trying to make the rest of the lawn look like that composted spot, and he couldn't do it.
Uh-huh.
Well, Jerry called me one day, and he said, "Beck, get over here. I want to show you something." When I drove up, I saw this big, round, green spot in the middle of his lawn. The rest of the yard looked terrible.
It still does.
Anyway, Jerry came out of the house. He said, "Malcolm, that spot bogs my lawnmower down. It says it never shows any disease or insect stress." He said, "The strangest thing is, though, if I don't irrigate," he says, "the rest of the lawn wilts. But that big, tall, thick green stuff, it never wilts." Then he said, "If you can duplicate that, you won't have enough compost to sell." So Jerry allowed us to bring compost, me and the competitor, to his lawn. And Jerry laid it out, all scientific, equals, slope, shade, sprinkler, and everything. And we got those same results. And that was back in 83, I think. I mean, oh, this lawn, these two spots came out really pretty. And that's when that really bad freeze was.
Uh-huh.
And Jerry called me laughing. He said, "Uh-huh, Malcolm." He says, "Your two composted spots are going to be drained. Going to be dead when the spring comes because they were actively growing." But guess what? When the spring came, the only two spots in the whole neighborhood that didn't have freeze damage.
Hey.
Well, several months later, Jerry called me. He said, "Beck, I'm bringing you a magazine article I want you to read." Jerry came right out and threw this magazine down, and it was about some young PhD had put compost half an inch thick on a lawn in October like we happen to do. He watered it in, and he got those same results. Jerry said, Malcolm, call that guy, write that guy, find out how compost does it. I said, "Well, why don't you?" Jerry said, "Well, I'm supposed to know."
he usually just makes stuff up if he doesn't know it. So.
Anyway, I said, "Well, Jerry, I don't know either." I said, "But I suspect it just builds health and immunity into the lawn. And that's what it is."
Huh.
Sounds
well,
great.
Well, and certainly now... Y'all recommend
yeah,
composting
I hope I,
all
I
the
hope
time.
We, Malcolm and I, Malcolm may have known about this grand announcement, but I guess they mentioned it in the paper today in the Turfgrass article, so I guess we haven't jumped the gun a little bit.
I haven't read that yet. Haven't gotten the paper yet.
Hey, yeah, Malcolm, if folks want to read your latest book or get it, what do they do?
Well, I don't think it's in bookstores.
Okay.
It's at the Gardenville store.
Okay.
Or they can, a lot of times when people come out to visit me, if I like them, I'll give them a book.
Oh, man. So if you're nice to Malcolm, go out there.
No, Malcolm doesn't necessarily like you if you're nice to him.
Oh.
He likes Jerry.
That's true. Well, Jerry sometimes is nice to him.
Oh, yeah, really?
I don't know if I ever gave Jerry a book. He probably would.
Well, there you go. So apparently, I don't know. Does that mean?
But your books are at, like, the Schultz House and at the Botanical Garden bookstore,
they're
too.
They're around.
Yeah, they're around. You'll find them.
Well, thanks, Malcolm. Thank you for letting us put you on the spot here.
Well, thank Jerry for letting me talk about him.
Yeah.
He
doesn't know you're talking
Malcolm,
about
we
him.
Don't ever ask
Look
him at, his
he's paying no
permission
attention.
For anything. We got. It's self-defense.
He's going to find out this.
Believe me, he gets vengeance. He gets, you still owe him.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
I'll let him. Get him up here.
All right.
Thank you,
Malcolm.